In my life, I have observed many individuals endure various levels of adversity. There are some who will quietly acquiesce rather than face or risk personal embarrassment, anguish, or public ridicule. There are some who choose to run from the problem rather than facing the challenge head on. And yet there are some who courageously, valiantly, and humbly emerge from the eye of a hurricane stronger than ever. We all know people who have endured incredibly trying circumstances and have either emerged victorious or thoroughly beaten. The subject for my lesson this evening is surviving when things go south. How a Christian endures and grows through adverse circumstances. There are several different types of adversity that we face in this world. Adversity comes in a variety of shapes and sizes. And for our purposes this evening, I developed four general categories into which most adverse circumstances will fall. The first I will call self-inflicted adversity. That's what we talked about in our first lesson this afternoon. These types of difficulties are the consequences for our poor decisions. This is founded on the principle articulated by Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which I quoted, and I'll quote this evening. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. We discussed several examples of this afternoon. Esau, Moses, Jephthah, Samson, David, Paul, and that man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Our poor decisions carry temporal consequences for which God will hold us accountable. And in my estimation, enduring the consequences for those actions is a form of adversity. The second category of adversity that we face in this world are victims of circumstance beyond the realm of human influence. That may not seem clear at first, but I couldn't figure out a better way to say this. In this, a person suffers adverse circumstances as a participant in this world, but not as the consequence for their actions. Job is a quintessential example of this type of adversity. Loved ones die in a sudden, untimely manner. Disease appears with no apparent source. Catastrophic events bring death and destruction. As we will discuss later, the troubles found in this category are the result of Adam's introduction of sin and simply represent the sad course of this physical world. This type of adversity is oftentimes the hardest to deal with because it forces us to ask some very difficult questions to which sometimes some people can't find very satisfying answers. Why do the righteous suffer while the wicked enjoy peace and ease? How could a loving God allow such a tragic event to take place? Why did my loved one contract this disease while another person avoided it? These are the types of events that occur outside of human agency. The third category I've set aside for this evening is a victim of malicious or evil intent. These challenges occur when a person is deliberately targeted by another individual who intends to harm them either verbally or physically. Once again, the one suffering in this situation is innocent. They are not paying the consequences for previous actions. Instead, they have been maliciously marked by another individual out of envy, jealousy, hatred, etc. Persecution for the name of Christ is a classic example of this type of adversity. We might also cite the example of Joseph and his brothers. This would fit into this category. People who are targeted with malicious and evil intent. Victims of malicious and evil intent. And the fourth category, we might call the victim of circumstance. A victim of circumstance is an innocent party who suffers adversity as a result of other people's poor choices. In other words, victims in this category are paying the consequences for the bad decisions of other people. Children whose parents are in the midst of a divorce. The innocent employees of companies like Enron. Victims of a robbery. All these would be considered, in my estimation, victims of circumstance. I realize these categories aren't perfect, but it helps me to get some sort of organization in my mind to understand what exactly we're talking about and how these things impact our lives will help us shape how we cope with them. To me, these represent a fairly comprehensive categorization of human adversity. The real question I've been asked to address, though, this evening is not the types of adversity that we face, but rather how we cope with adversity. How do we face adversity as Christians? And ultimately, as the title of the sermon says, how do we survive? How do we come out? In talking about how to cope with various types of adversity, I think it's first important for us to understand and recognize what God's purpose is for bringing about difficult circumstances. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 20, Paul has something very important to say. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. In times of difficulty, God intends to turn man's attention to the eternal. He's trying to shake us, wake us up, and remember that we are a passing vapor. Our lives will not last forever. At Romans chapter 8, verse 20, Paul tells us why. The creation was subjected to futility. What does that mean? Adam's introduction of sin into the world drastically altered the nature and direction of the physical realm. And as a consequence for that sin, this world and its treasures, including our own bodies, now decay rather than progress. This, in part, is the futility to which Paul refers. This world is not meant to last forever. But God subjected this physical realm to futility in hope. This is his purpose. He subjected it in hope. And what is God's hope? Hope that man would look beyond the instability, the futility, and vanity of this world to his Creator. Hope that man would, in recognizing the eternal, repent of his sins and turn to God. Hope that man would not love the things of this world, but desire to live in a realm free from sin, sorrow, and death. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but every time I sing that song, I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. I really have to stop myself and ask, do I really mean that? The whole purpose is to point us toward what lies beyond. I don't want to stay here any longer than God wants me to be here. The futility of this world, including some of the adverse circumstances we face, reminds us of this physical realm's temporary, decaying, futile, finite existence. Adversity forces us to confront the unstable, unpredictable, volatile nature of this physical realm in hopes that with faith in God, we might embrace the eternal. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. How do we deal with adversity? Well, first understanding what part of God's purpose is in this. But the second suggestion I have to offer to you is to turn to the spiritual resources that God has made available to each of us. Do you want to weather the storm? Then turn toward those things that God has provided to help you get your ship through that storm. Go to the Lord in prayer. in the words of Peter, cast all your care upon him. For what? For he cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I think we've all experienced failures in our life where we have not turned things over to God as we should. But Peter's words are true. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Consider the examples of faithful men and women in the Word of God. In James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, James points our attention to a group of men who endured incredible hostility, endured incredible adverse circumstances. And he says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Turn to God in prayer. Turn to His Word. And finally, and perhaps the most difficult of all, lean on your brethren for assistance. This is often the most challenging because no one likes to ask for help. It's difficult to ask for help. And yet Paul says earlier in that sixth chapter of Galatians, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Cast your care upon the Lord and turn these things, turn to your brethren for assistance with these things. God has put these spiritual resources in place to strengthen us in times of weakness. Be sure you turn to them. Don't abandon them. How else can we cope with adversity? I'd like to offer you a perspective this evening. A perspective that I think one brother who's not here this evening but who's been mentioned today has been an excellent example of these past few months. Difficult, challenging circumstances provide an opportunity to glorify God. Difficult, challenging circumstances provide an opportunity to glorify God. Joseph, when he was talking with his brothers, credited the Lord for his sale into Egypt with these words, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler through all the land of Egypt." Joseph took these difficult circumstances that he had been faced with, and he turned them into an opportunity to praise God. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Do you remember what Jesus said in response? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Here is a man who had endured great challenges in his life. And here was an opportunity for God to be glorified by his healing. It was an opportunity. And of course, the example that may have popped into your mind first, the example of Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, three times Paul pleaded with the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh. The Lord's answer, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul says, "Most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." He turned his challenges, his adversity, into an opportunity to praise and glorify God. because God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Difficult circumstances provide an opportunity for us to turn the glory and praise over to our Heavenly Father. One final suggestion as to how to cope with adversity. If you brought this adversity on yourself, endure the chastening of God. Suffer the consequences. Face the music. Take your lumps. In Hebrews chapter 12, Paul discusses the correction of God, the result of which he sums up in verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. If we accept and endure the consequences for our actions, knowing that the Lord's correction will yield growth, whatever discomfort we experience will seem worthwhile in the end. It will be worth it all, as the song says. Far too many people try to fool God by avoiding accountability. This is why Paul warns, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will not get away with it. Those who avoid accountability only create more problems for themselves. What could have been corrected before, at so little of a cost, has now become far more complicated. Endure the chastening of God. Allow Him to bring about that peaceful fruit of righteousness. A Christian in courage and faith confronts their iniquities, acknowledges their mistakes, accepts their correction, and allows the training of God to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Adversity helps us to look toward the eternal. We can take advantage of those spiritual resources that God has provided to help us through these times. We can seek an opportunity to glorify God through this experience. And we need to take our medicine. Endure the chastening of God with courage and faith. When coping with adverse circumstances, I believe that there are some certain pitfalls that we must avoid. There are certain things we can do wrong when coping with adversity that I think prove to be ill for us. Number one, carefully choose your spiritual counselors. Carefully take the time to think about who you want to talk with about these problems. I believe very much in seeking assistance from multiple people when things are difficult. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, Solomon writes, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Talk to several people. Get several different perspectives. Don't limit it to just one, unless it's absolutely necessary. However, as you know, choosing the right counselors can prove challenging. Parents, grandparents, elders in the church are all good resources for counsel. My only suggestion is, if you're uncomfortable with these people, seek out older, wiser, grayer heads than your own. Pick someone you can trust, who can remain discreet. Some situations require one to really bare their soul in order for the counselor to assist. Sometimes you really have to open up and open up doors that initially you don't really want to open up. But sometimes that information helps that counselor help you along the way. Choose someone with a sympathetic ear, but choose someone who's going to hold you accountable. Good, sound scriptural advice is a tremendous consolation in times of adversity. Turn to these people, but be careful who you turn to. Number two, the second pitfall I would suggest, do not be consumed with feelings of self-pity. And oh, what a challenge this is. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, that same passage that talks about the Lord's correction, the writer of Hebrews says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin." Our perspective is drastically altered when we consider the reviling, the pain, the loneliness that our Lord endured in those final hours. The writer's message in here is very simple. When you are discouraged, when you are weary, when you're disheartened, turn your eyes to the one who suffered the ultimate trial. Turn your eyes to the one who suffered the ultimate adversity. Furthermore, I admire what the writer says in verse number 4. I want to read it to you one more time. "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." I particularly appreciate how one man interprets this verse. "Cheer up, brethren. It's going to get worse." Cheer up, brethren. It's going to get worse. Though difficult, the adversity we suffer in this life cannot compare with what our Lord went through on our behalf. Times of trial, times of adversity tempt us with self-pity. During such moments, look to the example that Jesus provides. And this will provide a spiritually healthy point of view. One final suggestion before I close this evening. During these times of adversity, do not forsake the body of Christ. This is a real challenge for some people. Why do some people avoid the assembly of the saints during these times? Well, they might be ashamed of their conduct. Their poor choices may require a change in lifestyle they are unwilling to face. They may think that their problems are unique and no one will understand. They may fear that no one will forgive them for what they have done. Those facing adverse times must recognize their need for the church and reach out to brethren for assistance. The church, in turn, must be willing to assist those struggling with difficult circumstances. The parable of the barren fig tree in Luke chapter 13 resonates very deeply with me, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please turn to that passage before we close this evening. Luke chapter 13, we're going to pick up in verse number 6. The church must be willing to assist those facing difficult circumstances. Jesus spoke this parable. "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down.'" There was a time in my own life where I encountered some challenges and my faith failed. I abandoned the Lord's body and became a barren fig tree, unfruitful, useless. But thanks be to God, my brethren in love stood by me and shoveled load after load of spiritual fertilizer on my perishing soul. And some of those people who held the shovels are sitting in this room tonight. Brethren, when someone is going through challenging times, reach out to them. Help them. When you encounter adversity, please, please do not abandon the church. And brethren, when the time is right, have your shovels ready. When coping with adverse circumstances, carefully choose your spiritual counselors. Do not be consumed with feelings of self-pity. And turn to the church for assistance. We're going to close this evening and extend the gospel invitation. Jesus Christ has extended to each one of us the greatest promise ever given to man. And that promise is this: if you believe in me, obey my commands, repent of your ways, confess my name, and are united in the waters of baptism with my death, burial, and resurrection, I will save your soul. What a wonderful promise that is, brothers and sisters. Those of you who have not accepted the promise of Jesus Christ, we want to extend to you one more opportunity. You may be going through difficult and challenging times in your life. And believe me, we all experience them. You're not alone in that. And coming to Jesus isn't going to take those problems away. The challenges you face as a Christian will be different. They won't necessarily be more, and they won't necessarily be less. But what you have in your corner, it's so much greater than what you have by yourself. When you trust in yourself, when you lean upon your own understanding, when you are by yourself, you truly have no hope. But if you accept the promise of Jesus Christ, you have your sins washed away. You have the comfort and consolation of His Spirit dwelling within you. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who will help support you and get you through those difficult times. And believe me, you don't want to live life without any of those things. If there's any way we can help you to accept Jesus as your Savior this evening, we want to take this opportunity. We have plenty of time. And there's nothing I can think that any of us would rather see more than to see a soul be united with their Savior this evening. If you've had problems in your life, if you've drifted away, perhaps you've rejected the Savior you once had taken on, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, if there's any way we can serve you spiritually, I'm confident that this group of people will help you. Whatever we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing the number that's been selected.